Hello, and welcome back to another new episode of Couch Talks. My name is Kat, and I'm your host. Couch Talks is the special bonus episode of Unitherapy where I answer questions that you guys send to me, and you can send them to me at Catherine@unitherapypodcast.com. Now, it's the first episode of Couch Talks of 2022, and I think that's very exciting. We made it another year. We're in year three now of the podcast, and I am just, I guess, excited to be here. Not I guess, like I know I am. I took some time off from the podcast at the end of the year, and we put out some best of episodes, which I think is helpful because I know some of you guys miss some because it's hard to keep up with two episodes of one podcast every single week, but you miss some. So we put out again some of the most popular episodes that we had. So I'm saying that because I haven't recorded a new Couch Talks in, this is, I guess, 3 weeks now. So happy to be back. Grateful to be back. Grateful to be in year three of the podcast. And let's get into it. Before we do, you guys know this drill. You probably could say it for me at this point. But remember that this is not therapy. And even though I'm answering some questions, I'm not giving you therapy. And I can't do that over a podcast. And also, that would just not be right. And we keep everything anonymous, so I won't read the names or say any identifying information about any of the emails that I get. So let's go into this week's question. Hi, Kat. My son is a teenager and has been going through a lot in the past 3 years. My concerns are his thoughts and feelings that he outwardly shares with me. He has very low self-worth and has expressed that he does not feel like he is understood by anyone. He constantly talks down about himself, saying he's not good enough and he feels inadequate as a person. Tonight, he told me that he just wants to be the best at something and feels angry that he doesn't think he will be. He has been in therapy for the past few years, off and on, and regularly for about a year, going every other week now. I told him he needs to stop being so hard on himself because no one is perfect and it's all relative. I asked him if he talks about it to his therapist, and he said yes. What I was surprised by was that he said his therapist told him he would never be the best at anything and he needs to just come to terms with that. Maybe this is 100% true, but is it time to find another therapist? This is the fourth one. Is he just being brutally honest? Is this a technique to get him to think about what that means? I'm not sure, but all I do know is he feels worse now and is considering quitting therapy because he said no one understands him, so what's the point? I'm just a concerned mom here trying to get your advice. Do I encourage him to continue with his current therapist? Do I encourage him to find a new one or let him decide if he doesn't want to proceed? Any advice would be truly appreciated. Okay, so my heart goes out to you and your son because feeling this way as a human being is very hard and painful, and watching someone that you can't like take away their pain and frustration, watching someone that you love feel this way is also really tough. So again, my heart goes out to you and I'm glad you emailed me. And I'm also glad that your son's even going to therapy in the first place because there is some attempt to get some help in that. Now, I can't speak for your son's therapist. I don't really know what he meant. It could be a multitude of things, but what I can say is how I would interpret what he said or what your son said he said. And also, I think there is something to be said about building rapport with a client before you make certain comments. For example, I don't know if I've ever told this story on the podcast before, but when I first started, I think this was one of my first clients. When I first started, I had a client at the treatment center that I worked at. And she came in and she didn't really want to be there. But it was like the first time that I met her. I think I was doing like her intake and she was telling me a little about her family and her siblings and her sibling. I think she had one sibling and he was very, very, very high achieving. And she was in treatment for an eating disorder and possibly some substance abuse. And I said a comment like, wow, that must be really tough that your brother is at this elite school getting a double major and you're in rehab. Even just me saying that now, I just cringed a little bit because I know what I meant and was trying to be empathetic, but the way I said it was harsh and could have worked with a client that I had a rapport with, but this person didn't really know me. So to her, she heard just something very mean, like me saying like, yeah, that sucks. Your brother's this and you're that. I just didn't need to say that at that time. the way I said it. And I have talked about this of like the three questions that I ask myself before I say things to certain people. And it's, does this need to be said? Does this need to be said by me? And does this need to be said right now? And sometimes that last one, does this need to be said right now, is like the kicker of, I could have said that to her, but like maybe a week into our relationship. I was seeing her every day, so our relationships build fast there. But the point I'm trying to make is the comment could have been well-meaning and it could have been actually really effective with some people, but there's something about building rapport and understanding where somebody knows where you're coming from before you say certain things. So my comment wasn't wrong. I still stand by it, but not when I said it and exactly how I said it. And it's my fault. I take responsibility fully for that experience. And good news is we worked through our relationship and yeah, she did some really good work and we were able to repair the damage that I had begun to cause. So going back to the comment, I don't know what he meant. I don't know in what context they were talking or any of that, but I can talk about what I would interpret "you said he said." And it is very, very, very unlikely for any of us to be the absolute best at anything, which is just a basic truth. There will always be a better therapist. There will always be a better podcast host, a better friend, a better runner, a better writer, etc. Like anything that I do, most likely there's going to be somebody that's better at it than I am. Now, that doesn't mean I can't be good and it doesn't mean that I can even be great, but I'm probably not going to be the absolute best. And that's hard to accept sometimes because our society thrives on being elite. Now, part of this has been made worse by a more recent attempt to help people's self-esteem in our society and this push to raise people's self-esteem. It's been a very well-meaning attempt, but has kind of like missed the mark. Because the thing about self-esteem is that it is an outwardly focused thing. Like self-esteem is created and felt by reinforcement that comes from the outside of us. It's very others focused. For example, in school, my self-esteem can be raised by getting a high score on a test or a ranking in the top of my class. And that idea is like being the best means you're good, right? So if I get the highest grade on my test, it's like, yay, Kat, like you're so smart, you're good. But if I don't get the highest grade on the test, then I'm not being congratulated. And so then I'm not good. And if you're not the best and the best means you're good, then does that mean you're bad? And that's become an issue. The problem with this is not that we're trying to like make people and encourage people when they do well at things and when they are good at things. That's not the issue. The issue is that because we are encouraging the best, encouraging the top, being average has become an insult. Like nobody wants to be average because nobody congratulates you on being average. Like you, if I was like, congratulations, you were in the middle of everything, people would be like, what? Very confused. But the truth is, most of us are average compared to the entirety of our population. There can only actually be one best. So then the rest of everybody is not the best. What this does is it doesn't leave a lot of room to develop self-esteem if our self-esteem comes from being at the top. So we either start having poor self-esteem and we create self-loathing inside of ourselves, or we do things to make ourselves feel better, like knocking others down, which is why bullying has become a bigger issue, because I can feel better about me if I can make you feel worse about you and I can elevate myself. And this phenomenon also explains partly the rise of narcissism as well, which we're not going to get into that, but that's why that has been on the rise more, is because we've created a society that thrives on being at the very, very top. Now, this understanding doesn't really solve your problem. It just is my understanding of what may have been meant or how I might explain that. And I might talk with somebody about their struggle of like not being the best at something as like just a normal part of life. Like most of us aren't the best at anything, to try to normalize and create some almost camaraderie with the rest of the world and not make somebody feel so less than or othered. Like nobody's like posting on their Instagram, I'm average, I got average grades, I got 10th in this race, I got this. We're only posting like the top stuff. And so then we don't realize that we're actually like just like most of the people around us. And that's not a bad thing. We don't have to be extremely different to be valuable and worthy and loved and special and to be even congratulated. Like you can get congratulated by being the 10th at something. Anyway, so this doesn't really solve your problem. What you're asking more about is like, what do you do in regards to your son's therapy? Do you encourage him to stay in it? Do you encourage him to go somewhere else? Do you encourage him to take a break? I can't totally answer that. My go-to is always to talk about things if the people and or the space that you're in feels safe enough. I would hope that a therapist would be a safe person and that would be a safe environment. And so I might encourage your son to express how he heard the comment, especially because it kind of solidified a belief that he's struggling with, which is nobody understands me. Because I really could bet that the issue here isn't that he's not the best at anything. It's more of the other part of like, nobody understands me. I want somebody to sit with me and try to understand and know what it's like to be me in a world where I don't feel like I'm ever going to be the best. I don't want just somebody to tell me like, well, that's just life. So maybe you just need to get over it. Again, that goes back to rapport. And so what your son might be really asking for without or wanting without knowing how to ask for it is, I want somebody to sit with me in this and ask me questions and try to understand me rather than fix my feelings, rather than to make me feel more like everybody else. I want somebody to actually understand what it's like to be me. So there could be a conversation that your son has with your therapist that could be so cool and probably more therapeutic than any other session. It could offer then repair to that relationship and then some healing and peace in that part of the understanding of, I just want people to understand me. So I would encourage that if it feels safe. I don't know if this therapist is a safe person. So I can't fully say like, yeah, go do it, because I know nothing about this therapist. I just want to be very careful about that. I also think there's something to be said about our attitudes towards therapy as well. Maybe at this point, your son doesn't really believe that therapy can help. And maybe he's just kind of down on it. And maybe he does need a break. If he doesn't actually believe that therapy can help, and if he doesn't actually believe that his therapist wants to understand him or that his therapist can help him, then most likely it won't help. And he may need a break. I don't know if he enjoys going or at one point enjoyed going or any of that those details. So I think this is a deeper conversation for you to have with him. And I totally encourage you to ask him some questions around this. Ask him some questions about like, what are you getting out of therapy right now? How do you feel when you go there? Are there things you feel like you can say? Are there things that you feel you can't? Like, what has been helpful? What has not been helpful? What does it feel like when you leave? Like, if you take that sentence, that one idea, I don't feel like anyone understands me, and you take that and you run with that, that's where we're going here. Rather than to solve his problem of what he should do about therapy, it's like, well, what if you become the person that really attempts to understand him so he feels like people can and will do that? Because man, that is a hard, I guess, belief to sit with. Nobody ever is going to get me. So maybe all he needs to hear from you is, I don't think I'm ever going to know fully what it's like to be you, because I'm not, but I want to get as close to that as I can. So can you tell me what it's like to be you? Can you tell me what it's like to be you when you go to therapy? Can you tell me what it's like to be you when you show up at school, when you show up with your friends, when you're at home, when you're alone, when you're with people? And just try to get some information. Because I go back to this quote all the time that I got from a mentor back in high school. And it's that people want to tell their story. They just want to be asked. They just need to be asked first. And so people want to talk. People want to talk about themselves more than I think a lot of us lead on, but we're waiting for that invitation. And so maybe that's what your son is looking for or waiting for. And going back to what I was saying earlier, therapy doesn't usually help when people don't want to participate. So maybe you get some information from him around that, and then you let him make the decision himself, and you put that in his hands rather than you take full responsibility for it. I hope that was helpful, and I hope that kind of leads you into a direction that feels okay and right for you to go with what you're struggling with your son. And I hope that your son finds some healing as well, because like I said in the beginning, like, this is tough stuff to sit in, which most of the stuff you guys send in is tough stuff. And I'm so grateful that you feel safe enough to send that to me and to get feedback from me. I appreciate every email I get of like, wow, this person doesn't fully know me, but they do trust me enough just from hearing my voice over and over on a podcast. So thank you so much. If you guys have any other questions that you want to send to me, you can send them to Catherine@UNitherapyPodcast. You can follow me on Instagram. You can follow the podcast on Instagram. Both of those handles are @cat.defada and then @UNitherapyPodcast. And we are back in it. We're in 2022. Monday was a brand new episode, and next Monday will be another one. And we are back in it, ready to just take on the year, see what it has for us. So thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sending in your thoughts. And I will talk to you guys on Monday.